Okay, let's on iceberg.
Thank you. I like icebergs. They break the ice.
Why can't they go? What's your favorite iceberg to go with?
Two truths and one lie.
Ooh.
That's always a good one.
Okay. You start then.
Oh my gosh. All right. My first flight was at 21. Like the first time I've ever been on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of heights, and I'm left-handed. Two truths and one lie.
Now, I feel like you should know that.
I can't. I know.
I should have thought of better ones, but...
I think I know what the lie is. The lie is you are right-handed. You're not left-handed.
The lie is I'm afraid of heights.
You're not?
I am. I said I'm not
afraid. You saw her on my story, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm left-handed.
Are you?
Weird.
Yeah.
I promise I've seen her right with her right hand.
Mm. It was all in your head.
It was, yeah, it's probably in my head.
Or probably because we were facing opposite directions.
Yeah, that's true.
You thought it was one right.
Yeah.
Two truths and a lie. Okay. As a Trini. I'm also Jamaican. And... certified lifeguard.
You are not Jamaican. you're definitely not Jamaican. That was too easy. No, that was too easy. I like that. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're a lifeguard?
Hey.
That's cool. That's such a cool thing to do.
So if someone's dying, you can't like...
I'm a little rusty. I'm a little rusty, but yeah.
I mean, I still know it.
Can you swim?
Yeah, I can.
For real?
Yeah.
I'm the only one. Erica, can you swim?
Can you swim?
Oh, okay.
It's not hard, no.
It's me and you too.
But how are you guys feeling?
Good.
How has Ghana been?
Ooh.
Who wants to go first?
You go first.
It's been good to me. I think for me, because this is my third time here.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's my third
time. How were the first two experiences like?
Yo, the first two was really nice. The first time was a shorter trip. Mm. It was... for another event that we were working, and they just wanted me to see the country and become familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, boom, 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 I'm going to show you everything. The second time I eased in, and I had more time to just explore and become familiar. This time I'm independent. I'm like, I'm a local now. I'm a Ghana girl. I'm a Ghana Jamaican girl. Like, that's just what it is. But it's been a good trip. It didn't feel like time was flying by, but time definitely... flew by. Yeah, because so much was happening, even though we feel like we were moving at a calm pace.
Mm.
It was busy.
Yeah. How were you? First time?
First time.
Uh-huh. It's been an incredible experience then for you.
Incredible experience. Especially because, like, you know, we work with a lot of Ghanaians in our work, but I haven't been here. So I think it's been very impactful to just have a deeper understanding of just culture, the life, what it smells like, tastes like. Sounds like. And also, because we came to work, I wasn't fully aware of what Detty December was giving.
Are you sure? Your work was fun to me, to be honest.
I mean, our work was fun. I think that's the point, right? Yeah, that's what we want to do. But I was not fully prepared.
They didn't give you a heads up?
No heads up for me.
You just walked right into it.
Just walked right into Detty December, like, oh. I was like, so 9 a.m. every night, everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single day.
That too.
We didn't make it to every single, first of all, half the parties that we were working, we didn't attend because we fell asleep. And by the time we woke up, it's like, oh, it's 3 a.m.
Which we could have still gone out.
Yeah.
We could have
and had a whole fresh night. We could have started.
Like,
we
chose parties sleep. Were starting at 4.
Exactly.
Yeah. You didn't miss a thing. Yeah, but I like that. I also just realized that I didn't introduce you guys. So welcome back to another episode of the Nail Podcast. The two beautiful, amazing ladies I'm sitting with are Naya and Dakota. They run a PR agency from New York. But I don't think my introduction did justice to you guys.
Oh, gosh.
So I want you guys to do it. Introduce yourselves to the people.
Okay.
You go first.
Let me start. Okay, I'm Naya. I'm a Trinidadian in New York. I have been doing PR. I took a little hiatus because it's a weird field, especially back in the States. It's also very white, so often. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like the spaces I was working in a ton, but I also had some great experience. So I started working at Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, which is like the biggest black ballet company in the States.
That's cool.
But always kind of in entertainment. And then I moved on to an investigative journalism company called The Intercept. It's like whistleblowers, like people who are trying to blow up the Trump administration.
Yeah.
So that was
That's what you're doing?
Yeah. It was intense. I signed some NDAs, so I can't say everything that happened, but it was intense. A lot of the biggest whistleblowers broke their stories with that news outlet. And then there were other outlets in that company too, but that was the coolest part. Then I went to work at PBR, which is a beer company, a little bit different, working on their experiential marketing, so like events, concerts, shows. And then COVID happened and we all got fired.
You know that struggle too.
I signed an NDA with them too, but fuck it.
Oh.
Okay.
Fuck it. Nah, I'm just kidding. And then...
I don't want them to come up to you, please.
Huh?
I don't want them to come up to you.
No, yeah, we're good. And then the whole time I've been working as part of a music collective and organizing group called Corpus, which is a bunch of New Yorkers in New York and other people with ties to New York, focusing on more of the underground scene, punk, hip-hop, rap, but then I kind of hold down the community organizing aspect of it, which is called Corpus Family. So that's been ongoing for a long time with all my best friends. We all live together too. But through that career timeline, I would say summer, it was the COVID times, like summer 2020?
Yeah, it was 2020.
Yeah,
it was
COVID, definitely COVID.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think when I linked her, basically, but... We linked kind of early, you know what I'm saying? I got fired from my job. There was a lot. It was not the greatest moment. I moved. I had a breakup. Like, it was just a lot happening. And then I just dropped a lot. But I was like, you know, kind of like when you hit rock bottom, like, and it all just happens. It's just kind of free.
Everything's just like,
it's like, fuck it. Yeah, you're right. So I reached out to Coda because I was just trying to get more creative about like what my next steps would be at work and was thinking about coming back to PR really as something that could be lucrative and where I could still be independent. I didn't want to go back into a corporate job because I had gotten used to some of the freedom of working freelance. I also was writing for Sports Illustrated during COVID.
Cool.
So that was a cool
moment. You've had a great
There were good moments. It's good to look back on it because there were some ups and downs. But I cold hit up this lady here one day and I was like, hey, I'm a fan of your... the way you approach PR, essentially, and can
That's
we?
How it works?
Yeah, I literally emailed her out the blue. Found her email on like an old press release she had sent out like 2 years prior.
Was that UHHM?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
Okay.
And then we met up, and the rest is history.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
That was a beautiful introduction.
But how did that feel for you though? Like reaching out to her and just like trying to work together. Weren't you scared she was going to say no?
Like I said, I was not scared of anything.
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen?
I wasn't scared of anything.
Yeah.
I felt like all the worst stuff had happened. So I was like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how did the PR start for you?
When I was 19.
Damn.
I know. I went to school for communications. I'm Caribbean, but Jamaican-American. So my fellow Jamaicans will be like, oh, girl, you're from foreign. Like, you're American. But in Africa, they'll see me as a, you know? Yeah. So Jamaican-American, grew up in the Bronx. I studied communications and PR. The company that I started with is kind of like my trajectory of my career. I've been with them since I was young. And the Chamber Group is a boutique PR firm in the States, Black-owned agency. The owner, the founder, is also a Jamaican man. So he is like a mentor. He was my boss, an older brother, just kind of, you know, my solid ground and just my breakthrough in this industry. I started as an intern and kind of like worked my way up. A few years ago, I decided to just go back to school completely and do something completely different. Got my master's in political science. in international relations.
Have an undergraduate in political science.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I've always been, I love music, but I've always been tapped into the diaspora, just all things Black, all things culture. And I never wanted a typical 9-to-5. I always wanted the space. Yeah, no, it's not my style. I need the space to just create, you know. I understand the necessity of having structure and stability, but I realized that the one thing I love about PR is just, one, just building a brand, just like really taking a project from A to C and seeing the fruition, just like seeing like it.
From an idea to...
Yeah, you know.
Look what we did.
Exactly.
You know that feeling from these past few weeks. Yeah. So that's literally what it was. And then I was young. I was just able to just tap in. I've worked on projects like Essence Festival, J. Cole, Erykah Badu, Jill Scott. So like hip hop artists, African artists. So it's been dope. And then the way I got tapped into the Afrobeat space, my first, it was a mutual friend that actually knew Stone Boy, and she was like, I think you'll be great to work this project, when he wanted some exposure in the States. So that was like my first real African artist that I was able to like just do this cool press run for. And it was a few years ago that I decided to, I continued freelancing even throughout like my graduate school journey.
Yeah,
I still, but I just never went back full time. So a few years ago, I started working for a nonprofit. So I do have a full-time day job working with high school kids. I love them. It's like an entrepreneurship program, again, focused on Black.
So like an after-school program?
It's actually in the school day. So we implement the curriculum in the school, and we teach Black and brown kids how to survive in the real world, how to become like entrepreneurs.
Oh, how to survive.
Because these are things.
She says like there's a jungle out here.
It is, especially in the States. I know it's a jungle out here too, so it's two different struggles, right? But still the same as far as the color of our skin and just like our overall survival in this world. And I love it, but I love working there because of the flexibility I have to still pursue my passions. And it's an entrepreneurship program that's teaching me how to be an entrepreneur for my own endeavors. And then like Naya said, she reached out a few years ago. This was at the start of me realizing that I want to take Roots to the next level. Like, let me actually make this a business.
Roots is our agency.
Roots PR agency is our PR firm. It is our agency. But again, I was just freelancing with an LLC. Like, let me do my tax write-offs. And now it's like, nah, we could do this. So let's do it. So here we are doing it.
So how did you feel when she reached out to you saying, wait, what did she actually say in the email? I think I'm interested in that.
That's a good question.
Like, it's like rock bottom, so it's like she was throwing everything in there,
but
not knowing how it would go.
You see how she's saying it's rock bottom for her? I was also in an interesting space because it was a huge career transition for me. I had just started working at the nonprofit. And then it's a bout of like imposter syndrome and trying to figure out, well, where am I going next in life, in my career journey? Like, what's up for me? And knowing that there's something in the pit of my gut saying that you're destined for more. Like, there's more out there for you. So when she reached out, I was actually going through a transition with someone I used to work on the firm with. And it was very affirming. When she hit me up, it was very affirming. And I'm like, where's this coming from? People are,
this is
I was
the
shocked
cue I needed.
Because I'm like, people are watching me? Like, people follow me?
This is what I needed.
Yeah, and also this is what I needed to affirm. This is the direction I'm supposed to be in because
it's
I didn't
like
know
a reassuring
anyone.
Thing.
Yeah, very reassuring because I was like, I didn't know anyone's paying attention to me. I don't put myself out there like that. As far as my work, I don't put myself out there.
You're just out there.
Yeah, you know? So I was like, clearly somebody is noticing, so let me see where this goes. And when we linked up, it was a very nice meeting. And then it was a few months after we linked up that we started working because I had to sort things out on my end. But I went into it with the intention like, yo, if we're going to do this, we're building. Like, you're not just coming on board just to say like you're working, but we're really about to build and birth something great. And the rest is history. It's been a beautiful journey for the past few years.
I like that. How has it been working together? And why did you decide to say, okay, cool. Was it like her drive, like her work ethic?
It was her spirit. But I also...
I'm not gonna lie, like on this season I've had like a lot of guests mention spirituality and like spirits as being like the
driving force
behind a lot of things that they did.
It was because I move on spirit and it might not be because I mean we're in a world where it's like you live in for us, corporate America, like you live in a society where it's like you have to follow certain systems, you have to follow certain structures. But everything that has played out in my life for the past few years has been by the spirit. Like my life is led. Like everything has been very manifesting, affirming. And when we linked, it just felt good. And I'm like, all right. And then the proof, like the track record is there. You heard everything she's done. And you've seen her in her element. You've seen her in her magic. And I'm like, oh, we could kill this. Let's do it.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Killing.
And it's been nice. But this is actually the first time that we've been able to be this close in physical proximity. Because
really?
Yeah, because the pandemic and then just like where we live in the city, we're not close physically. So this world, this culture of remote work has become a thing, and that's kind of how we started. So it's like we link up when we can or when a client is in town. But us being, we spent the past 5 weeks together sharing an apartment in Ghana. Yeah, we did it, girl. like we out here. So I think like it's deeper now because, again, going back to what I was saying about just birthing something, and I'm like, I feel like this trip to Ghana was outside of the work we came here to do. This was also pouring into each of us in a different way that we don't even know yet. Like we don't know what's to come, what's to come of it. But I've enjoyed it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like
that.
What she said.
Yeah, but also does that also mean that like how she works the day job? Is that the same energy you work on your underground collective?
I think it depends because some of it is like seasonal. Like we have seasons where we're a bit more busy, a bit less busy. But this upcoming year should look a bit more consistent with the community work, which is where I kind of narrow and focus on. And then I was also freelance writing. So really I was doing Roots and then working the Sports Illustrated gig, which was through Onyx Collective, which is a black women owned and ran sports media company telling the stories of black women in sports. So we got commissioned to do a series of 100 influential black women in sports.
I know someone.
Hmm?
I know someone.
Hey.
Who's done it?
That's on
like
that,
one of my friends.
That's on that
who did it? Who
no,
was in the
no,
series?
No, she's not on.
Oh, who should be? It's over.
Do they do it yearly? Is it annually?
It should come back.
You don't know.
Sports Illustrated.
We calling y'all out.
I think we need to do that again.
Yeah, we should.
100 more.
But yeah, that was cool because I think I was just reaching out to Dakota, thinking about what I wanted after working at a beer company in the United States, which I don't know. I don't care which one you're at. It's going to be very white, very bro-ish. It was very that. So I think making that definitive decision of like, reaching out to Dakota, starting to carve my life out where I'm really working with black folks, working in the diaspora. Till I met Dakota, it had been states-based and more local. I have strong Trinidad roots, but I hadn't been able to work in that space and haven't yet, but that's to come too. But I think linking up with Dakota kind of solidified it on a global scale, which gave me just a deeper understanding of my own self even. And
To be fair, like it's just just under 2 years or about 2 years.
About 2 years.
And you guys have done like incredible work, like expanding beyond like what you guys are known for in the States, like entering the African markets, working with like African artists. Who has been like the favorite African artist to work with?
We can't say that in an interview.
I know, right? I'm not going to lie. I think I'm going to say Molly.
I'm like, hi, Molly. I love
yes,
you.
Hi, baby. We miss you, girl.
Being here without you, it's not right. It's
it
not
is
right.
Weird, for real.
And I think a part of that is more so just off like, we love working with all people, all black peoples, but working with women for us is always just going to hit different. Being able to help amplify their stories because we go through a lot.
For sure.
We go through a lot. So I think just pouring again into black women across the diaspora is a dream and it's actually been happening, which I think it's what you were saying, like the words will probably come in 2 months or 3 months or 4 months to just what the impact of being here, working with Lakeisha, working, you know, just like tapping in.
Also for me, I think it's just like, again, seeing something come to life, you know, when I started with Molly, it's even before she was thinking about releasing this project. And shout out to Yusuf. That is my brother.
Hey.
One of Molly's managers. He's the one that just put me on to her before she even started, like, really making music heavy. And she's like, he's like, watch out for this girl. And just seeing us do this campaign for the past year and seeing it come to life when Naya led her, like, New York press run last December 2021. And it was a show that she did. And it was just a solid
at Cafe Erzuli in Brooklyn. Yeah. Amazing hub for Black folks worldwide.
It is.
What's up?
and then coming back a year later and seeing her do this amazing feature, right, in Essence, and just having a solid press campaign.
And Rolling Stone.
And Rolling Stone, an amazing Rolling Stone feature. And I'm like, wow, yeah, we really did this. So just seeing the growth, like being able to grow with our artists and know, like, we're part of their breakout, their breakthrough, and just like their journey. It feels special. Mm-hmm. It feels really special.
There's also like a stagnancy to me in PR that turned me off from it. That's like just locking in press, just locking in press, just locking in press.
Traditional concept.
It's very traditional. Yeah. And
so what's so different now?
Well, I think for us, that we don't report to anybody but each
that
other.
That part.
So
It feels good.
And I think, like, we intentionally are trying to get pieces that are exciting for the artists, yes, but also exciting for us as seasoned publicists years in the game. Because we've seen a lot. We've seen it all. Like, there's been lots of cool opportunities in PR. But I think things that can continue to just, like, make us feel like, hey, like, this was lit for the artists. This was lit for Roots. This was lit for, as Elle would say, for the culture.
And then traditionally, just working in PR, you don't always have that liberty to pick the accounts that you want, to pick the clients that you work with. Sometimes you're at a big firm and it's like, you're just going to work this account. You could care less about the project, care less about the music. If it is
regardless of the interest, you have to do it.
You just have to deliver. And that takes away. And that's also rooted in white supremacy, where it's just like, you just got to show up and you just got to work. And it's like, this is not passion. This doesn't feel good. So even having the liberty to say, we want to work with this person and every single artist or project or account we take on, it's coming from the heart. Like, it's something that we actually care about.
How long does it take you guys to decide on what to work on?
It depends. We'll speak about it within days, within weeks.
It could be a text.
It could be a text, and it's like, is this an account? Is this a project we're
taking
on? Let's
run it.
No,
sometimes it is that instant, and other times we're like, well, let's sit on this for a second.
I think we're blessed to be pretty aligned in general, and we have beautiful differences. Like, there are different things that we care about, and we push each other and challenge each other on, but in general, we care about a lot of the same work, so it's kind of easy when something comes to us to be like, this is for
us.
That's nice. I like that. You guys kind of compliment each other.
Aww, bro, that's not the first time we heard that.
I was going to, like, ask, like, do your differences, like, influence the way you work?
In
a good way or in a bad way?
In a good way. For me, I don't know.
No, no. Okay. Imagine I'm like in a bad way.
And that's another thing. We create room, to be honest. At least I hope that's what I'm giving. But like, to be honest and transparent with each other. But we celebrate our differences. And like she said, we challenge each other. Naya is like, she's outside. Like, she is like, let's be in the mix. We're on the ground. We need to network. We're in Ghana. We need to meet this person, this person. I just love her brain. Like, I love how she ties things together. And I told her this is one of her superpowers, where it's like she can connect the dots so seamlessly. And she'll meet someone and she can just foster that relationship. And with me, I'm more like, I don't know if it's reserved, but I'm cautious. And
I was going to say that.
It's a necessary she's like grounding, though.
I'm calm.
Yeah.
What am I?
Fiery. And it's funny because I'm
she's
very
the fire
fiery.
Sign.
Yeah, I'm very fiery, but I'm calm. It is interesting. And she's the air sign. But and you see that. And to me, I'm like, all right, we're networking, but what's up? Like
who is this?
Yeah, who is this person?
I'm like, don't worry, they're great. They were at Ali last night. They're going to Twist later.
And I'm like, pausation. Shout out to Mercy.
Pausations.
So those are like some of the differences. I think bigger picture sometimes where I'm like, all right. And that's also just the part of being a business owner, where it's like you're on the ground, you're in the face, and I have to think about sustainability for us. I have to think about how we're surviving, how we're bringing in more money, how we're keeping certain clients happy. How do we show up differently? So I've been exercising new muscles, and she's been exercising new muscles. She's been encouraging me to exercise new muscles with just being out more. I hate promoting myself. Like, it is weirdest thing. That's you the guys coolest convinced thing. Me. I know. You guys convinced me to do this podcast. Yeah. I'm like, I'd rather it be like, if you know, you know. I want to be like on my Jay-Z tip. Like, it's just subtle. I mean, like,
but you just said Jay-Z.
I know. But one of
arguably the most famous black man in the world.
I know. I think about like the J. Cole's. Beyonce never another famous.
Why is she dropping superstars talking about?
I was going to ask you. I think I forgot to say. How is it like working with J. Cole?
Yo, let me tell you.
Did you also work with him? Or she worked on him before?
I'm not part of the Cole community, but I understand the impact. I know that nobody likes it, but I understand the impact of what she did.
Yeah, I was a nervous wreck. I usually don't get nervous around, like with our industry, I'm not starstruck. I can just be in the same room. I have a lot of celeb friends that could like hit me up, but it doesn't faze me. But J. Cole was the one person. We had an interview, I think it was with Fox, and he came in and it's like, he dapped me up. Like he really like saw me, and I'm trying to prep him for the interview, but I'm nervous because I'm so cheesy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this guy. But so I was definitely giving starstruck vibes. That's probably the one artist, and it's weird because I'm like, all right, there's so many other artists that you would have thought. But
I feel like Cole is that guy. So
he is, and he's so just chill and low key, but he be talking his shit. I just like how he moves, like. Like,
she was moving like that.
Yeah, you know, it's like.
Right. What about you? Which artist left you starstruck?
In work or in life?
Good question. In work. Because she answered for work.
In work. But my, that was Beyond Roots. Okay, so mine would be Lauryn Hill, 100%. Mm-hmm. I got to, so the way things worked.
You have some big hitters on the belt.
This was random. And like, let me tell you, I was like an intern when this happened. This is when I was at Alvin Ailey. Which I worked at from when I was 16 to when I was 23, between interning, reception, I just wanted to work there. So I was like, y'all gonna hire me. Y'all gonna hire me. I'll see you in summers. But the way that the PR department went there is that we would have two annual galas, which were big fundraising moments for the company. So celebrities need to get invited, right? So that's PR's job. So we would just split up this list of like 300 celebrities. So each person gets, you know how it goes, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. And if, because most people are not hitting you back, unless like there's something already, like the cold emails, you're not getting hit back. If you got hit back, that's your charge for the night. So the whole department hits up who they hit up. Great, great people come out. Lauryn Hill's manager emails me back, talk about, oh, I want to come. I was like, yeah, totally, it's great. It's going to be really awesome. And I like run over and tell my boss, I'm like, yeah, like, so anyway, so that night, I remember I'm just like sitting at the gate, like at the press table, just waiting. And I'm like, sure. She's my favorite artist. Like I have her, this is her. I was like, is this my tattoo? Yeah, this is from a Lauryn Hill song. Like she's one of my favorite people. And she's in my, like a lot of black girls, she's just in our DNA. Like we just grew up on on that album, really. So she pulls up Matt Incog. You know, like a little hood. I think she had like a little black scarf. It's winter. She's like, and I didn't recognize her. She goes, Naya? And I go,
what you crumbing?
But I was cool. I was calm. I was like, yes, please, Miss Hill, let me escort you. She came alone, no security, you know, just like good.
Oh, she was alone.
Her manager had beat her, and then she pulled up alone.
She pulled up alone, okay.
So I walk her to her seat, and she's just kind of. Just the type that she just kept saying my name, like every time I walked by.
You felt seen.
Miss Hill. She's like, yes, Naya, thank you so much, Naya. Hugs, kisses. I'm like, yeah. I told you, I'm like, like this, it was too much. And I feel like, word, Erykah Badu would do that to me too. Yeah. I know she did that to you.
Did you guys see her at the Black Star Line Festival?
No, we left. We were sleeping. Yeah, we couldn't. Did you stay?
Yeah, I stayed. I left at 6 a.m.
No.
That's the thing. Y'all say something ends at midnight. It's really ending at 6 a.m. And I'm like, yo. But people be up.
People were there.
We're trying to get the energy that like is in Ghana. We don't have that energy.
Yeah. Right. You have to build tolerance.
Yeah.
You have to come like mid-year, then you come December, then you...
And that's how you know you could just make it.
Your face first.
Because you were there from early, too.
Yeah, I was there from 7 a.m.
So you stayed from 7 a.m. to 6 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
That's 24 hours, right? That's 23 hours. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It's fine. I had to do what I had to do. But with you guys expanding into the African space, who do you guys look forward to working with? And like, how do you guys want to move in Africa?
Pausation.
Can you capture a little BTS of us, please? Thank you. Probably your phone, because my phone is old.
Oh, yeah, you can take my phone in my bag. I think it's there. Oh, you're holding my phone. Oh, no, that's her phone.
That's my phone.
Yeah, you could use mine.
It's in the blue bag.
Just yes, for a little. Please.
Just a little snippet that we can have. Thank you.
Yeah, who do you guys want to work with?
I'm not going to say anyone specific because there's a lot of evil eye and bad mind. And I think if I put my specific intentions out there, I don't know who's watching and doesn't want that to happen. Nor am I going to let y'all know what's next. Just know, I'm very interested in tapping in with producers here. The same way it's important to me in the Caribbean because producers control so much of the sound, especially in the diaspora.
Yeah.
Thinking about not Afrobeats, but thinking about the Caribbean, like I'm from Trinidad, so every carnival season, all their producers drop their beat tapes, and then all the big artists just jump on the song, and then they put out a 7-track album, everyone on the same instrumental, same rhythm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so that's how come we hear like so many songs with like different versions.
Yes,
of
that's why the dancehall DJs just.
Yeah.
And it's not the same here, but there are producers who you hear their tag on like everything. Hot.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in producers in Afrobeats and Alté.
It's twofold for me. I only want what's meant for me. I only want what wants me. I don't want any account. I don't want any project that isn't aligned for me. So I'm open.
Right.
But then on the flip side of that, something that I am very passionate about is just the work I've been doing with Lakeisha. Lakeisha Ford, we just had Wood & Wata. But even beyond the Wood & Wata brand, it's just like we've been building for some time now, for a few years, and just seeing the magic of Wood & Wata come to life and just also know what else is to come with that. I won't say much. And just like what else we've been birthing over these past few years, that's what excites me.
Yeah, that's
beyond,
cool.
Yeah, beyond
Sounds
the music
cool.
And just beyond the culture, just really moving and transforming lives out here. So that is something that I'm looking for.
Manifesting more female artists for us too in the scene.
Same.
Yeah.
Also, if people want to work with you, how do they reach out to you guys? Because I'm sure there are a couple of Ghanaians who are like, I've seen these people.
Honestly, currently Instagram is the wave. It's at Roots PR Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Just hit us up.
On there.
Yeah.
Follow us on IG.
Yeah.
It's not that active.
So is that
we're
easy?
On it.
Just hi guys, I want to work with you. That's it.
I mean, it doesn't mean we'll say yes, but we're always on the talk and connect. Oh. And even if it doesn't work out, you know, maybe we can point you somewhere else that would be a good
fit.
The thing is, sometimes people come on board for PR too prematurely, thinking that they need PR. And sometimes it's not PR that they need. Sometimes it's management. Sometimes they just need artist development. So yes, you could reach out to us, but then based on where you are in your career and what type of surfaces you're looking for, then we determine. And if it aligns with what we have going on, then we determine if that's something we take on. But reaching out to us, we're
assessing. That was our two personalities. I'm like, hit us up, you know.
Yeah, you see? So that's the difference.
She's like, actually, like, come correct.
Are you ready for us, though, before you hit us up?
Makes pretty sense. Much.
Pretty. That's cool. And honestly, the work you do is incredible. I'm glad to have recorded with you guys before you guys headed out. Because I know you guys are leaving soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I get to work with you.
Hey, maybe the podcast. We already work together, first of all. Hey.
Yeah.
We do, right. Like, we're not on
actually,
the same
that's
team.
True.
That's how we met.
We are on the same team. But beyond the same team, yeah, maybe the podcast gets to work with you. Maybe me as a DJ.
Hey.
Maybe I
there
get to work with
now.
You.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe.
And you're already solid, so we already know.
Yeah, no. We can make something. Thank you guys for coming on. I very much appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank you for
you guys
having
drop
us.
Your socials just before you go.
Our personal?
Yeah. Do you want people on your personal?
Oh my God.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Now I want people on my personal. Dakota doesn't.
So, like I said, our joint one is at Roots PR Agency. That's
is this
the
together?
Most. Huh?
That's no, the like, word. No full stops.
They're dot.
No.
No, that's our agency.
Roots PR agency.
Right. At Roots PR agency. And then mine is just Naya Samuel. That's me.
Mm. And my personal one is Dakota. So it's underscore DECOTA underscore.
I you hated saying that.
I did. It was kind of like, put myself out there. I don't spell it like the state. So yeah, so just look me up as DECOTA.
Mm, that's nice.
Follow me.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I have a question for you.
What's up? What's up?
Who's your least favorite diasporic group that comes to Dutchy December?
Ooh, that is a good question.
My answer is going to get the show canceled.
The Americans? It's the Americans. We be out here.
Down bad.
Yeah, we're too blank sometimes.
We're too blank or too blunt?
No, blank. I think you have no idea about the history.
You know what?
Facts.
And then you're just too much. But if you're willing to learn...
Come.
Yeah.
I agree. Friend. I do think sometimes.
But I've actually met like an incredible American as well. So you guys know Chico Bean.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah. So he's from, is it North Carolina? Or he stays in North Carolina. But he's from Washington, but he stays in North Carolina. Okay. He's a comedian. He's part of the 85 South Show Collective with Carlos and DC Young Fly. He was in Ghana. And then I connected with him. And we had like quite a good conversation. And he actually surprised me about the kind of knowledge he had. So being an American, that was surprising. So yeah, if you're open to learning, yeah, we can be cool. We can be cool. But then if you are...
Don't be obnoxious.
Yeah.
Don't come... These are my... If I can say my takeaways to not be
An
obnoxious Black American in Ghana.
Yeah.
Don't be obnoxious. Don't be rude. Don't come just to take, really. Just
for sure.
Give something back. Don't come just to buy bottles and... push Ghanaians out of line at Bloom Bar or wherever else, you know.
Don't project as well.
Don't project your culture on African culture, thinking that this is the way it's supposed to be, when half the time how we are showing up is also rooted in Western ideology.
Which is rooted in white supremacy. Yeah. So it's very underwhelming. So it basically is. Get it together.
And just be graceful.
And then come. And consider coming outside of December.
Yeah.
There's a lot more here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
don't make... That. Ghana. I'm not saying that we
don't. Atlanta.
You guys have a lot of things to, okay.
Seriously, like, don't make Ghana Atlanta. Like, this is a beautiful country and it has so much more to offer than Dutchy December. And it's like, just embrace it. Don't try to change how this country is based on what we think is right. I will say that as an American, as a technicality, as an American, just showing up how we think that this country should show up based on our experiences.
Yeah.
And don't fuck with the cops.
And enjoy...
Yo.
And enjoy
enjoy the waterfalls as well.
Right. Hit Boaty.
Yo, shout out to Boaty Falls. I know that they get in free publicity right now.
They're going to pay.
They have an amazing hike. It is one of the scariest hikes. Probably the only hike I've been on.
Oh, my favorite venue... What? Is Remix.
Remix.
Shout out to Remix.
I understand the cop situation.
She called you, you know.
Word.
Did you ever see a missed call?
I did call you. Quickly. But then I was like...
Something happened.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for coming. I very much appreciate
it. Thank you for having us.
We definitely keep in touch.
Of course.
Yeah.
We have a whole group chat.
Yeah.
We do. We'll keep it going.
Yeah.
We have
I'll see you guys when you guys are back in Accra again.
Okay.
Sometime soon.
Before December.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Thank you guys. Thank you. Bye.